Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies. I am absolutely excited to be back with you another week for our Women's Online Bible Study. I pray that it has been a blessing to you. On last week, we talked about I Believe in Me. I also gave you guys a homework assignment to really be honest with yourself, to sit down and really write out what do you really believe about yourself? What have you taken on that maybe someone else said and you took it on as a belief? Because remember, perception alone has no power. What gives perception power is when we take it on as a belief. So email me. Let me know how it went. You can email me at sonia@essenceimages.com, or you can go to our Bible study website, and then you can contact me there. So we're going to move forward with this week's lesson, and we're still kind of in the same vein, but I just want to talk to you from woman to woman. When I was in my 18 and 19 years old, I started my career as a professional hairstylist. And so I did really well at the gate, which was amazing. And by the time I was 21 or so, I wanted a home. I wanted my own house when I was back home in Dallas. And I went and I looked at the house. I knew what kind of house I wanted. And my father said, I think you should wait until you get married before you get a house like this. And so I thought to myself, okay, my father, you know, he loves me. He knows what's best. I'll wait. And so it kind of planted a seed in me that before I could do or accomplish the things in my heart, that I had to wait on someone to come. I had to wait for someone to be a part of it. I had to wait for certain things to happen before I actually would move forward with my life. So a few years later, got married and young and didn't know much. And I still wanted a home. I still wanted a beautiful home that, you know, that you can decorate, that you can just call your own. And the problem with that is that at that particular time, my ex-husband didn't want it. So here I am, I have been secretly waiting for someone to come, and then when they came, they didn't want it. So now my dream is still on hold. My desires are still on hold. And so I thought about this past week and just thought about where I am and the things that I still desire, things that I still want. And I was honest with myself, and I said, you know, I've been waiting secretly for this thing to happen, or I've been secretly waiting for someone to come, and I've been secretly waiting, thinking that I had to wait in order to accomplish the things that are on my heart to accomplish. And so the Lord dropped this topic in my spirit, and he says, what are you secretly waiting on? Wow, what a good question. What are you secretly waiting on? Because what makes it a secret is that we honestly don't tell other people what we're truly waiting on. What are we waiting on to accomplish our dreams? What are we waiting on? Are we waiting on, if you're single, are you waiting for someone to marry you to go see the world? What are you waiting for to start your business? What are you waiting for to write your book? What are you waiting for just to be happy? What are you waiting for? Who are you waiting for? And it hasn't happened yet. and you still find yourself in the same place, still waiting, still waiting. And I realize I'm getting older, and so I can't keep waiting on something that, guess what, may not ever happen. And what if it never happens? You see, a lot of ideas are planted at different times of our lives. And they say, well, you know, before I step out there, I need this. And before I actually, I can only be happy if I have someone in my life. I can only go to do different things if I'm in a relationship. I can only do certain things. Well, that is not true. That is really not true. And so I want us to come out of or go to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And also it will be in your Bible study notes. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let's stop right there. You have to trust the Lord with everything, even this secret thing that you're waiting on to happen. You have to trust him with it. It says, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I love this because the battle is either we're going to trust in the Lord or lean to our own understanding. And most of us as women, we have this imagination. We have this idea of how we think things should go. And oftentimes how we think things should go becomes a law. You know, you don't deviate from your law. And most of the time our lists include other people. We might not know the names. We know the gender. We know how we want it to flow. We know what we want them to be like. But what if that's not God's plan for you? You say, well, Sonia, God will give you the desires of your heart. Yes, he will. But we skip something. He says, first seek ye the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because if we trust in the Lord with all of thy heart, God will take those things that are not of him. See, everything in our heart is not good. Everything, it might sound good, it might feel good, but God knows it might not be good. So we have to trust in him with all of our heart. We can't lean unto our own understanding, because that's what messes us up. That's what messes us up. When we begin to lean and depend on our own understanding, we find ourselves secretly waiting before we decide that we're going to be happy. Because we thought by now this would be going on. And we didn't foresee this happening right here. And oh my God, that happened to me. But you know, I've learned that most of the time people wait to the beginning of the year to do a New Year's resolution. But every day is a day where God has given to you to change your life. You don't have to wait for New Year's. You don't have to wait for someone to come. You can decide today that you're going to be happy. Because here's the thing, as women, our happiness, our joy, our peace oftentimes is depending on those who are around us or those who are not around us. And so we find ourselves just going through the motions of every day because we are secretly waiting. And so I realized that in my 20s when I wanted the house and he didn't, we separated. Not because of the house, of course, but we separated, and I decided to go get a home. I decided the Lord laid on my heart, I want you to go, I want you to get this house. So I go, I'm going after it, I'm finally going after it, and I see the house, I'm going after the house, and then I let him come back. Because he said that now he wants it with me. Then he comes back, and I'm only sharing this, this is years ago, this is not new. So nobody has to feel sorry for me, I'm over it. I'm sharing this to give you an idea of how we are secretly waiting. So we're now in our first home, right? Not too long afterwards, he tells me that he wants a divorce. But he doesn't want to leave the house. At this time, I have no strength to fight you. I just want some peace. So I leave, not knowing that as soon as I walked out the door, another woman was going to come in. So the very thing that I had been waiting for did not come how I thought it was going to come, because I did not foresee that happening. Here I am, 47 years old, still with the desire of wanting a home, still battling. Wow, I had this idea that, you know, me and my future husband would look and, you know, go look for a house together, and we could select it together and get our furniture together. But what if that is not God's plan for me? So I'm still waiting on someone to come and be a part of what I'm believing God for, as opposed to me just stepping out and believing God and trusting him and living life and deciding to be happy, doing things that are going to bring me joy, doing things that are going to bring you joy. It's personal. It's personal. Maybe things didn't work out as you thought, but it's still never too late. You can decide today to be happy. What does that look like for you? What does joy look like? What does peace look like? What do you want your life to look like? That's important. That is so important. Proverbs 16 and 25. Let's go there. And, of course, it will be in your notes. It says, there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is death. See, we can think that when we lean to our own understanding, and when we decide that we have these ideas of what we want and how things should go, we are leaving God out of the equation. When we don't consult him, when we don't give him our whole heart. See, the good thing I found out that this week in praying to the Lord and sharing with him, I mean, I always knew it, but it just seemed to come alive again. See, I can tell him what's on my heart without me going back to what happened. Why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. He's Alpha and Omega. He already knows everything, so I don't have to go back and I don't have to catch him up, because he's always there. Even when things didn't go right, he's always there. When they go good, he's always there. So that's the good thing, that I don't have to keep it a secret from him, because he already knows everything. All I need to do is acknowledge, you know what, Daddy, I have been secretly waiting. I thought that I had to wait on this before I stepped out and did that. I thought I had to wait on this person to come, or wait on this person to be in agreement with me. Waiting on the support and waiting on the finances. But what if it doesn't happen like that? 2 Corinthians 10:5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 10:5 and 6. It reads, let me go back to verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And number 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself, the knowledge of God. Look at that. We have to cast down our imaginations. What you imagined it should be like. How you imagined that it should go. You have to cast it down. That means to throw it off. We have to cast down what we want him to look like. We have to cast down our list. We have to cast down how we have imagined life would be by this time so that we can embrace what God wants to do in our lives. So it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself, that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. Most of the time, our imagination will exalt itself against God's will because this is how we imagine for it to go. This is what we imagine it to be like. You know, I'm 26, and so I thought I'd be here by this time, and now I'm 34, and I should be here. I thought I'd be here by this time, but you know what? And now I'm 42, and this is what, and it still haven't happened yet. Let me tell you what gave me a wake-up call was many years ago, but there's a young lady that I knew that desired to be married. She really desired to be married. And it consumed her. But she got killed in a car accident. And I thought to myself, her desires died with her. But I wondered if she had stopped waiting and just lived her life and just enjoyed her life and not put God on a time schedule and not place him in this box where he can only move the way you want him to move because of our ideas and our imagination. He doesn't operate like that. Because guess what? Here I am, 47 now, and I'm like, I really want a home. Battling the belief that I had to have someone around in order to go after the house of my dreams, waiting for their acceptance, realizing I don't have to wait on anybody. Now, I wouldn't say that to a woman who's married, because you have to walk together and you have to be in agreement. But the point I'm trying to make is that some things we don't have to secretly wait on, that we can actually go and get it, that we can actually obtain it, that you don't have to wait for your spouse to be happy, for you to be happy. You can just be happy because you want to be happy. You don't have to wait on your friends to support you before you step out on faith. Just step out. Just do it. Because I'm learning that if you wait, you're going to be waiting. You are going to be waiting. The Bible says, God says in Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Then he tells us, he says, I know the plan that I have for you. See, we quote it. See, we can quote scriptures that we've heard, scriptures that we may even read. But do we have any revelation of it? Because when we start trusting him, we stop leaning to our own understanding. Lord, you know what's best for me. You knew this was going to happen. You already know. You know my heart. You know what I desire. He says, for I know. You don't know everything. I know, he says, the plan that I have for you. He say, it's good to give us hope and for us to have an expected end. That's good because he already had a plan for us before he created us. So why do we have to come up with our own plan? I'm not saying that it's easy to submit our will to be God's will. I'm not saying that that is easy. Even Jesus struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. But what I'm saying is, what are we secretly waiting for? Why are we waiting? How long have you been waiting? I have friends who are still waiting to get married, still waiting for him to come. But what? I'm not trying to, you know, dampen anybody's spirit, but what if God don't bring him for another 10 years? You going to sit here and be sad for 10 years? You're going to sit here and not fulfill your dreams for 10 years because you still waiting on him to come? Don't do what I did in my 20s. Don't do what I did. When he came, guess what? He didn't even want it. So the very thing that I had been waiting for still didn't turn out as I planned. So now you're waiting again. But I declare that we are going to stop waiting. We don't have to keep it a secret. We can talk to the Lord. We can share our whole heart with him. Let me share something with you. This week, the other day, my mom kept saying, baby, you need a new car. You need a new car. And she kept saying, you know, for weeks, she'd been saying, you just need to step out on faith and get it. You just need to step out on faith and get you a car. I know that I need a new car. And I knew that my car, you know, I've been driving it. I think I've had my car for like 12 years. And so the other morning, Friday morning, in prayer, I went into prayer and I said, now, Daddy, the last time I bought a car, it was out of urgency. Because my ex-husband had put another woman in the car that he had bought me. So I didn't have time to pick and choose and to select a car. I just needed a car because I had children, and I needed to get them back and forth to school, and I needed to work and get back and forth to work. So now I don't have any money for a down payment, and I don't know what to do. I know that I need a new car. And so I walked outside that morning in my apartment. And when I it was raining. And when I walked out, the people were still standing there. And they say, "Is this your car?" And I said, "Yes." "We are so sorry." I said, "What happened?" "A company truck with carpet, big barrels of carpet on the back, didn't see my car and backed into my car." When they told me what happened, I didn't get upset. I smiled and grinned because I knew. I knew, and I mean, oh my God, I wasn't even in the car when it happened. My car was in an accident, but I wasn't. And so the lady, she was real frantic, and she was, "We're so sorry, we're so sorry." I said, "It's okay." So we go into the office. They had already given the people the information, and so they handed it to me with their insurance and their business card and, you know. And so later on, and the lady, she was still frantic, and so I hugged her and I said, "It's okay. You don't know, I've been praying. I just prayed for a new car." And so later on that day, I went back through the office for something, and the ladies and the maintenance crew, they stopped me in the office. And the lady said, "You really made my day." I said, "How did I make your day?" She said, "You were so calm. You were so nice. You were so sweet. And you gave the people who just hit your car a hug and told them it was okay." I didn't even know people were watching me like that. And so I guess in the midst of whatever you may be going through, God already has a plan that's better than any plan that any of us could ever have. That's why I'm telling you the story. All he was waiting on was for me to share with him what I was secretly waiting for. And here he is. His plan turned out so much better than what I could ever plan. And so I'm telling you that when you give him what you've been secretly waiting for, he'll work it out. It might not be how we thought he would, but he already told us that his plan for us is good. So, God, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify you and we glorify you. We lift you up. We say thank you. Thank you for your plans for us. Thank you that you are waiting on us to tell you what we have been waiting for. It may not come how we want it, but we open up our hearts to receive your will. So, ladies, our time is up. I pray that this blessed you. And so until next week, God bless you.